We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome to the BCP podcast. I am James, BCP, aka Black Sort of Patriot. Appreciate all of you. Please receive a big hug from me. We're going to get into a few things, but let me just tell you some things that I found on my travels. I will be back stateside toward the end of this month, and we will get back to a regular schedule of this show. Now, you'll see right here, you can see right there, CNN is playing. I am currently in Europe, and it's playing on the TV. Very interesting. They don't have Fox News here. Not that Fox News is great anymore, but it's still a lot better than CNN, MSN, and MSNBC. But I noticed this last time. CNN is actually a little bit more honest outside the United States. Just an observation of mine. I'm not saying that they are right-winger like that, but they do seem to present more of the both sides of the story, which I find very interesting because CNN hardly ever does that in the U.S. Now, I don't watch CNN regularly, but because it's my job as a pundit and a commentator and a political analyst to watch CNN, unfortunately, and MSNBC, unfortunately, I have to watch them. So I did find here CNN in Europe as a little bit, I wouldn't say trustworthy, just a little bit more fair in their reporting. And another thing I noticed is I was watching the news, BBC, Euronews, Al Jazeera, France 24 in English. They use a lot of the same words that our mainstream media does. Like when they're attacking something that has to do with independence and a politician, for instance, in Italy that's not down with the European Union's take on things, they'll call that a narrative. And they use the same kind of words as a narrative and agenda to pretty much besmirch anyone in any country that believes in some sort of nationalism, autonomy, and independence. So, folks, the struggle is real, and the struggle is actually international. But as an American, I will concentrate on American politics. So big hug to all of y'all. Let's get into this, folks. Let's talk about what we have here with President Trump yet again. Another 52, remember the 52, what were they, former and present intelligence community officials talking about how this is back in 2020, of course, that the Hunter Biden laptop had all of the makings and markings and signs of, what was that? What did you say? That's right, Russian disinformation. Well, we have something similar again. Let me share this with you. So as I'm showing you here up on the screen, Politico, back on October 19th, 2020, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. More than 50 former intelligence officials signed a letter casting doubt on the provenance of a New York Post story on the former vice president's son. Well, now we know that it wasn't Russian disinformation. So here they are at it again. Newsweek, Trump immunity claim could inject chaos into military retired generals. That's right. If it works once, why not do it again? A group of retired U.S. militaries have come forward to oppose President Donald Trump's claim of presidential immunity, warning that it would, quote, inject chaos into military operations. Among the four criminal cases that Trump is currently facing, the most significant, according to many observers, is a federal case brought by the DOJ and special counsel Jack Smith. In the DOJ's probe, Trump is accused of attempting to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election that led to the U.S. Capitol riot on January 6, 2021, after losing to Joe Biden. The former president has claimed innocence and has pleaded not guilty to the charges. Once again, it is not an attempt to overturn the results when you point out cheating and you ask for that to be investigated. He did not lead any riot on January 6, 2021. He said peacefully protest. He didn't lead the charge. So this is false. And he didn't lose to Joe Biden. Donald John Trump was the legitimate winner of the 2020 election. It was stolen from him and from we the people. And President Trump is innocent. In an effort to stave off the case or to merely delay it further, Trump, the presumed 2024 GOP presidential nominee, we haven't had the Republican National Convention yet, but he's going to be. He's got all of the delegates and what have you. Claimed that he had broad immunity from criminal prosecutions for anything done while he was president, including his efforts surrounding the last election. And once again, the argument, from what I've read from the legal things, is not open immunity, is that he was acting as the president in looking into the stolen election of 2020. He was acting within his duties, and therefore he has immunity. The argument has been widely condemned by legal experts and was denied by a D.C. appeals court. We know the D.C. court system en masse is absolutely corrupt, but will now be ruled upon by the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments in the matter will begin on April 25th. On Monday, a filing was submitted to the Supreme Court in which a long list of retired generals from the U.S. Navy, Army, Air Force, who served under each president from John F. Kennedy to Trump, further condemned the former president's immunity claims. Now, these former military personnel should be more concerned about the fact that, the military missed their goal, their quota of recruitment for new military personnel by, 41,000? And then now we have this video coming out of the crazy treatment that one of our own received for not wanting to take an experimental jab. What I'm referring to is the video circulating of U.S. Air Force Senior Airman Lance Castle, who they tried to force to take the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, also known as a clot shot, and he did not comply. And there's a video of him being removed by the extraction team from his cell after refusing the jab. He was charged with going AWOL, absent without leave, to avoid the shot and being disrespectful to senior officers. He was sent to court-martial to stand trial, and guess what? He was found not guilty on all these charges. But this should never have happened in the first place. Now, those of you watching this can see the video. Just go to hashtag Lance Castle if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this on the podcast. So you can see this is how one of our own was treated. Why the hell would someone want to join the military, an actual warrior and free thinker and patriot, want to fight for this military?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
But they don't have time to comment on that, or the fact that we have men in drag who are mentally ill getting promoted, people of color getting promoted, not on merit. The military used to be about merit, but now it's about wokeness. It's about DEI. It's about everything else, as China and Russia and everyone laughs at us. We don't have warriors. We have pansies, because real warriors do not want to be in this current pansy military. Very, very sobering thought indeed. But let's get back to what's going on here. And tell me it doesn't sound like the 52 former intelligence officials saying that the Russian disinformation campaign or I should say that the Hunter laptop was a Russian disinformation campaign. Tell me if this doesn't sound just like that, getting these former military officials to comment on President Trump wanting immunity by saying that it's a danger to national security. Quote, the former generals are deeply interested in this case because presidential immunity from criminal prosecution would threaten the military's role in American society, our nation's constitutional order, and our national security, the brief read. It also would have profoundly negative effects on military service members who answer to the orders of the president as commander-in-chief. So you're telling me that, you know, guys getting their coconuts and their other plumbing whacked off to become women, that experimental jabs and other things going on during the Biden regime that are disheartening to current military personnel and stopping other people from joining the military is more of a threat than a guy who isn't even back in the Oval Office again? Once again, this is, in fact, what we're looking at here. This is, in fact, what I would say is a disinformation campaign by these deep state former military officials. The article goes on to say, the filing also warned that such presidential immunity would disrupt the rule of law that is critical to the military's mission and to the people's trust in the armed forces and would fly in the face of the duty of military members to disobey unlawful orders. The same military that forced an experimental jab on our military servicemen and women, and then when they needed them back and begged for them back, did not do them any justice for the injustice they did the first time around when they didn't want to take the jab. You talking about that military Newsweek? Please give me a freaking break. No one is falling for this malarkey. But then listen to the words Newsweek use. Immunizing the commander-in-chief from criminal prosecution, as petitioners argues for here, would fly in the face of that duty, creating the likelihood that service members will be placed in the impossible position of having to choose between following their commander-in-chief and obeying the laws enacted by Congress. And that's not what Newsweek says. That's what the actual filing reads. They actually use the word immunize. Poor choice of words, given how the military has politicized and endangered our military with the supposed last immunization, the fake vaccine, the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. You see, this is all propaganda. This is all part of the entrenched deep state using everything they can to stop President Trump. It continues, and it would threaten the unity of the chain of command from civilian leaders to military leaders down to units and service members upon which the proper function of the military depends. Not only does petitioners' approach threaten to inject chaos into military operations, it also threatens to damage, potentially irreparably, the public trust in the military and the willingness of recruits to join the armed forces. That's right. They are trying to pass off onto President Trump. This is 100% sociopath and socialist, Marxist, communist projection, blaming President Trump for what they've actually done to the military. And once again, this feeds in the narrative that President Trump is dangerous and he's going to throw everybody in jail and he's going to do all these illegal things that he can't do per the Constitution and we must stop him now. This is part of the continued fear-mongering of what President Trump is supposedly going to do while Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the illegitimate president of the United States, is actually doing that. Jailing protesters, trying to jail and imprison and kill and keep off of the ballot his political opponent. That's what the fake President Biden is doing to the legitimate President Donald John Trump. Everything that they accuse Donald Trump of doing, everything they have accused him of doing, they actually do. From being cozy with the Russians, that was all made up by Hillary Rodham Clinton so that people would not think about her coziness with Russia and Uranium One. That whole narrative was started by the Clinton team, and it has continued to today. Once again, that was a huge projection. the rule of law being broken by Obama, by Clinton, by Biden and his DOJ, but we blame and say that Trump is actually doing it. Are you tired of this yet, folks? Are you tired of the projection? I sure as hell am. And speak of the DOJ, we now have this today from Representative James Comer of the House Oversight Committee. The Biden administration does not get to determine what Congress needs and does not what Congress needs and does not need for its oversight of the executive branch. So this is the statement put out today. The Biden administration does not get to determine what Congress needs and does not need for its oversight of the executive branch. It's curious the Biden administration is refusing to release the audio of President Biden's interview with the special counsel after releasing the transcript. Why shouldn't the American people be able to hear the actual audio of his answers? The American people demand transparency from their leaders, not obstruction. The Oversight Committee will continue to work with the Judiciary Committee to obtain the information needed for our investigation of President Biden's willful retention of classified documents. We will respond to the Justice Department soon. So once again, what you have here is the Justice Department not wanting to hand over information so that the Oversight Committee can do their oversight job of the executive branch. Why if they released the transcript, would they not want to release the actual audio of it? Is it that the transcript perhaps is doctored, edited, or we can see that or hear that Joe Biden, in fact, was maybe coached, that it was scripted, that he wasn't, if he actually did have that interview and it wasn't just a fake transcript, that he actually had this conversation, that perhaps it would be further proof besides him almost falling down the stairs again yesterday, going up the short stairs into Air Force One, almost stumbling yet again, that we would see that in fact the emperor and his new clothes for what they really are. And all of this that we're suffering, folks, is because in fact Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. is an illegitimate president. And once again, who can we thank in big part for all of this happening? I started a series on this program about how AG Bill Barr and Christopher Wray of the FBI played their part in the rigging of the 2020 election. And we've got some more news coming out on this front about AG Bill Barr. Let's end with this story.
You know that there was a well-organized effort to shut down anyone who was looking to just investigate these tips that were coming in. And that was kind of the highlight of what we saw coming out of your trial with the ethics trial that was going on. And so I wanted to talk to you about that because I thought it was very, very interesting. Now, you're being accused of two different things. You're charged with Rule 8.4C, which is attempted dishonesty, and Rule 8.5D, attempted serious interference with an administration of justice. Now, for our audience, that's nothing. I wouldn't read into any of that. What ultimately is happening is, Jeff, they're trying to go after you for just the idea that you would potentially look into election fraud claims that were coming in, and they didn't like that. So I believe this is an effort to silence you and silence anybody else that wants to come forward.
They are trying to disbar and totally ruin Jeff Clark, a man who is serving as the acting United States Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division of the DOJ. And while he was in that function, he was summoned by President Trump to inquire into allegations of election fraud in the state of Georgia, among other places. Now, Clark has faced criminal charges for making honest inquiries into the election fraud that resulted in the 2020 stolen election, particularly in Georgia, where the evidence overwhelmingly proves that there was fraud from, you know, Ruby Freeman and her daughter to, you know, the busted pipe to Raffensperger and other Democrat and Republican operatives all playing their part to rig this election for our current joker in chief, Joe Biden. Now, he has been indicted. He's been forced to take a mugshot. And along with both attorneys John Eastman and President Trump, this all happened last summer. Now, as of my recording this on the 9th of April, Clark is in court today in D.C., where he's facing the prospect of losing his law license in the latest persecution against anyone that went to bat for America and President Trump during the 2020 stolen election cycle. Now, Clark served as acting head of the DOJ's civil division under Trump and questioned the validity of the suspect 2020 presidential election that resulted in the fake president we have now. And guess who was in on this operation, according to Jeff Clark? On Monday, Jeffrey Clark joined independent journalist Brianna Morello. This was his first major interview since the conclusion of his trial. Brianna played testimony from the trial where Harry Hari testified that Bill Barr was screaming at Tony Schafer to shut down the investigation into the postal contractor trailer filled with tens of thousands of completed ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in 2020. I've covered that story here on this channel before. During a discussion, this is what Brianna Morrell asked Attorney Clark, and this was his answer.
Okay, so Harry's saying that he heard him say to stand down. Jeff, did anyone at the DOJ ever tell you to stand down from investigating any of these tips?
Well, that's a question, Brianna, that goes to all the privileges that are hemming me in. Let me put that off for a second, and let me just summarize for your viewers that there is either in the public record or in testimony from my trial, three separate incidents where former Attorney General Barr shut down investigations. One is that Bill McSwain, who was the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, that's Philadelphia, my hometown. So in any event, back to Bill McSwain, he was the U.S. attorney in Philadelphia, and he said that he had very important and credible election fraud information that he wanted to pursue. And so he went to Barr and he asked if he could investigate it. And Barr told him, no, don't investigate it. And if you find anything or you've already found anything, turn it over to the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, who had already pre-announced, Brianna, that that Trump was going to lose in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So this was like a road to nowhere. And, you know, McSwain said, look, I'm a military guy. I saluted, even though I disagreed with it. Now, later, after he left office, after Biden had been inaugurated as president, I think in June of 2021, if memory serves, he sent a letter to President Trump where he exposed this episode.
Ah, but faithful listeners, once again, this is in the public record because Jeffrey Clark can't, because of the whole immunity thing that he's arguing in his defense in this ridiculous Fannie Willis RICO case in Georgia, but he's giving very specific details and a great explanation. That's the first thing. But that's not the only thing that he has to say about Attorney General Bill Barr blocking any investigation and any getting down to the nitty-gritty and exposing of the fraudulent election of 2020.
And then the third incident is one that that Matt Gaetz gave to us, because his former law partner, Larry Keefe, was the U.S. attorney in one of the districts of Florida. And there had been allegations that Andrew Gillum, who had run for governor, you know, Democrat, was engaged in election shenanigans. Larry Keefe wanted to investigate that, and Bill Barr told him to shut that down. So we got two of the three incidents in. Now let me circle back. Why didn't we get the third one in? Why didn't we get the McSwain letter in? We asked for permission from DOJ to have both Larry Keefe and Bill McSwain, two former U.S. attorneys in the Trump administration, to come in and testify. And DOJ blocked that.
So there we go again, just more evidence of AG Bill Barr being the agent against us. The DOJ we have now under Merrick Garland is ridiculous, but it didn't start with Merrick Garland. This whole mess started with Attorney General Bill Barr. What are your thoughts? Please put it in the comments section down below. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye, and God bless.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.